2006, all Big 12. Let's go over to the defensive linemen. We do see Tim Crowder on there, and I don't know why he would not be on the list. It's weird because their stats are so similar on everything. But he does not get on the list. That is somewhat surprising to me. You get Tim Crowder. So, yeah, I don't know where to go. He has a couple more forced fumbles. He has half of more sack, but he has a less tackle for loss over in his career. I really don't think you go wrong with either guy. It's hard because, yeah, Robinson's probably the better player. But I think if we go career and then he was a two-time all Big 12 first teamer. Like, that feels like they're saying he was the better player, that they are voting on it. Mm-hmm. It's Big 12 says he's the guy. So I think it's Tim Crowder, but don't – blame the Big 12. Don't blame that one on us. Blame the Big 12.
Yeah, it's a tough decision. I hate leaving Brian Robeson off, but he – you know, Tim Crowder did – he got the accolade, so we got to give it to him.
All right. Now we get to one of the toughest positions. And I did not think this was as tough when I started doing it. And then we kept coming up with more and more names. And then you start pulling up the stats and you're like, okay, this is ridiculous. So some of these ones might get pushed off because they were too early, but they're better players, but they were just figure out where we want to go with it. If we want to put these guys on, or if we want to go with a little bit later and where are we taking a career and awards. But here's some players, the defensive tackle position that I'll give you. I'm going to give you 10 names here, Matt. 10 names. So get your pen and paper out, everybody, and we'll give you all the names. Byron Murphy, 2021 to 2023, had 70 tackles, 16 tackles for loss, 8 sacks. He was first team all Big 12, second team all American, and the Big 12 defensive lineman of the year. Tavondre Sweat played 2019 to 2023, had 128 tackles, 18 tackles for loss, 5 sacks. He was an Outland Trophy winner, first team All American, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, and first team Big 12. Malcolm Brown played from 2012 to 2014, had 95 tackles, 16 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. He was a first team All American, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, first team All Big 12 team. Marcus Stubbs played from 2000 to 2003, had 205 tackles, 12 tackles for loss, 19.5 sacks. Two forced fumbles, and he was a first-team All-Big 12. Roy Miller played from 2005 to 2008, had 100 tackles, 22 tackles for loss, 10 sacks, first-team All-Big 12. Keandre Coburn played 2008 to 2022, 96 tackles, 15 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and second-team All-Big 12. Rod Wright played 2002 to 2005, 204 tackles, 42 tackles for loss, 17.5 sacks, 5 forced fumbles, first team All-American, first team All-Big 12, second team All-Big 12. Puna Ford, 2014 to 2017, 136 tackles, 21 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 3 forced fumbles, Big 12 Defensive Lineman of the Year, first team Big 12. Then we go back to the guys who played in the year 2000, and boy, are they good. Casey Hampton in the year 2000 had 78 tackles, 39 tackles for loss, and 7 sacks in the year 2000. He was a first team All-American, first team Big 12, and the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. You know who's beside him that year at defensive tackle? Sean Rogers. He had 44 tackles, 27 tackles for loss, and 3.5 sacks. That was in 1 year, in the year 2000. Those are 10 really good defensive tackles. That is a big list.
Oh, boy.
And I'm taking 4.
Shit, man. This is hard. Man.
Yes,
so I think that, okay, I think that there's two names that absolutely have to be on the list.
Okay.
Casey Hampton is one of them.
Yes. That one season, you're like, I don't care, it's one season. It's such a ridiculously dominant season.
Yeah, Casey Hampton. And did I hear that right? 19.5 sacks for Marcus Tubbs.
That's what I pulled up. Marcus Tubbs had 19.5 sacks. That is what I pulled up. I mean, I'll go double check that I didn't hit a wrong keystroke somewhere.
Okay. While you're looking that up.
Yeah. at least on his Wikipedia, his college career with 205 tackles, 19 and a half sacks is what it says on his Wikipedia. So those are the ones, it's harder to get those numbers for because he played early in the 2000s, that all the databases that normally have this stuff don't, they only go back, like defensive stats only go back to like 2005, 2006. So some of those ones at the beginning are just harder to get. His Wikipedia says it. I don't have another place to look for it, but that says 19 and a half sacks in his career, which is crazy. For a defensive line.
That's insane for a defensive tackle. Okay.
Rod Wright, by the way. Rod Wright's 17 and a half.
Yeah. I think Casey Hampton and Rod Wright have to be on the list.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that they're the two best defensive tackles Texas has seen in the last 25 years.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
I think that, unfortunately, Keandre Coburn has to get knocked off the list.
Okay. I'm with you. I'm fine with that. Like, it's just, it's too good of a list. And he's still really, really good, but he is off the list. Yeah, I'm with you.
I think that the last two spots could go to Tavondre Sweat.
By the way, I'm taking Sean Rogers off too. I know he's amazing, but because he played next to Casey Hampton, he gets handicapped in this, right?
A little bit.
Because
I still hate that because
I do too, but I'm saying
amazing player.
He was, but he basically didn't win any awards because Casey Hampton won them all.
Yeah.
So I solely in the fact that he didn't like Sean Rogers, if this was his entire career, it's maybe a little bit higher, but because we're only looking at his 1 year of this because of when he played, and it was the year 2000, that's why he's off. He's kind of in the same thing as Leonard Davis, where it's like that 1 year kind of kills you.
Okay. So Casey Hampton, Rod Wright, I think that the other two spots, like, I hate putting two guys from the same team, but I think it has to go to Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy. And that's not recency
bias. I'm not sure it's Byron Murphy. And I love Byron Murphy, but because he was on the same team as Tavondre Sweat, Tavondre Sweat wins the Outland. He wins the Defensive Player of the Year. And I know he wins Defensive Lineman of the Year, but he doesn't win the Defensive Player of the Year.
Okay, so let's make a rule for this position. Yes. That we can't have two guys off the same team.
Yeah, we're just going to make that rule so we can make it so we have an out for
that. That'll make things a little bit easier for us. So we've got Casey Hampton, Rod Wright, Tavondre Sweat. I think we can agree on those three.
Yes.
So then the last position comes down to that, knocks off Sean Rogers and Byron Murphy.
It does.
We've already knocked off Keandre Coburn.
Keandre Coburn. So I'll give you the main parts of like their main catches for the last ones. Malcolm Brown was a defensive player, Big 12 defensive player of the year. Marcus Tubbs, 19 and a half sacks. Roy Miller is 10 sacks, first team Big 12, first team all Big 12. He may get knocked off solely again because of what else is around him. And then Puna Ford is Big 12 defensive lineman of the year.
I think I have to give it to Malcolm Brown.
So the 19 and a half sacks don't do it. It is the defensive player of the year. He is 95 tackles, 16 tackles for loss, 6.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, first team All-American, Big 12 defensive player of the year, first team Big 12 from 12 to 14. I can't not agree. It's so hard. Malcolm Brown and Marcus Tubbs, I feel like, is the two left.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to pick between those two.
I'm going to go with Malcolm Brown for my pick. Man, this is so hard. I feel like Marcus Tubbs, just based on that production, is certainly deserving to be in there. But, man, those accolades for Malcolm Brown. Plus, he went on to have a tremendous pro career. I think he's still in the pros.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going Malcolm Brown, too. I don't want to. Let me look real quick at something. Let's see.
By the way, while you're looking that up, you know how they have all these conversations about like running back U and DBU and all this stuff? Can we just go ahead and call Texas Defensive Tackle University?
It's crazy. That list of defensive tackles is.
And there's more in there, too, that we're not even talking about.
No, I know. That was like that. That got whittled down to 10.
Just this past year with Alfred Collins and Vernon Broughton, like, man,
Yeah, it's just a crazy amount of, yeah. I just like, I wish I had a better look at Marcus Tubbs' stats. I really wish I had a better, like, if I could see them all and really be like, okay, well, how are we getting the 19 and a half sacks? Is it like, are you just getting like six a year or what? Like, I just don't have a breakdown of his stats because they're defensive stats back in the day. So it's really, really hard to get those numbers unless you have the right people and you know them and then you have all the documents. I'm sure I could, you know, you call up Craig Way and be like, hey, Craig, can you go back and get me all of these stats? And he'd go, I'm on vacation, Patrick. Don't call this number anymore.
what years did he play again?
Marcus Tubbs played 2000 to 2003.
Okay. Give me like a couple minutes here.
Okay. We'll see if he can get it.
And I'm going to see what I can find.
See if he can find it. Yeah, I was looking for it today. It is, but yeah, that I'm with you, Matt, that if we look at just the defensive tackle names of the last 25 years, and you go in, and yeah, we're not putting on Alfred Collins, who had a great season last year. I feel like there's some more guys that had really good seasons that we're just not putting on. If you just look at Longhorns drafted, which I pulled up that list before when I was putting together this all time, you know, this list, you kind of look at, you know, All Americans and Longhorns drafted was an easy way to get started on this list because it's an easy way to really kind of figure out where guys are going. But if we look at their draft history, as we go back to the year, all right, this one only goes back to the year 2002. But so that does not include some of those guys. You still have, you know, Marcus Tubbs is a first round pick to Seattle. You roll through, Rod Wright is a seventh round pick, which is kind of crazy. Rod Wright's a seventh round pick. But Rod Wright is a seventh round pick. We get.
Yeah, I can't.
Frank Oakham. Frank Oakham is another guy that's not on this. He's a really good player. That's kind of, I don't know why. Rod Wright must have been injured or something. Why was Rod Wright a seventh round pick? I don't know what that is about.
I don't know. He was dominant, man.
Yeah, we know what he was able to do. I'm sure there is, and someone could tell me. I don't remember off the top of my head why he would have been a later pick. But I guess he had some health issues is what they were saying is why he was taken a little bit later. But yeah. All right. So we're going to go with Devondre Sweat, Malcolm Brown, Rod Wright, and Casey Hampton. We're going to say Marcus Tubbs was part of the Rod Wright slash Casey Hampton team. So by our rule of not having two players, that's why he got eliminated. Right. That's what we're going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of other teams. It's our way to get out of it.
Rod Wright had a rotator cuff deal. That's why he fell.
All right. Let's go look at our linebackers now, Matt. I have five linebacker spots to give. I have three that are already in, three that are given. Our three that are given. Derek Johnson, 02 to 04, had 458 tackles, 69 tackles for loss, 10 and a half sacks, 9 interceptions, 11 forced fumbles. He won the Butkus, the Nagurski, the Lambert, the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. He's a two-time first-team All-American and a three-time first-team Big 12.
Arguably the best linebacker in school history.
Yeah. I mean, he's arguably up there of one of the best players in school history. Like, he is just Derek Johnson's man.
No disrespect to Tommy Novus, but Derek Johnson was something else.
Yeah. And the worst part is he was before his time. Mm-hmm. Like, you were like, if Derek Johnson was 10 years later, he would have been first ballot Hall of Famer in the NFL. But, like, the league just didn't move at the same time he did. But if he would have been 10 years later, like, he would have been so good. Because at the end of his career was when they were like, oh, Derek Johnson's one of the best linebackers in the NFL because the league finally caught up to him. But he was playing college ball where they were already trying to spread stuff out more and more in the Mike Leach and all. And so, like, he was used to that kind of stuff more. And if you put Derek Johnson in that, he would have been amazing. Brian Arakpo. 2005 to 2008, 103 tackles, 35 tackles for loss, 23 sacks, 6 forced fumbles. He won the Nagurski, the Hendricks, Lombardi, Willis. He's a first-team All-American, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, and a first-team All-Big 12. So Brian Arakpo, another beast. Sergio Kendall, 2006 to 2009, 151 tackles, 34 tackles for loss, 16 and a half sacks, 3 forced fumbles, 3 times first team All Big 12. He was good, and he was good for a while. Now, we have 2 more spots, and I have 5 names for you. I have Demo, DeMarvion Overshawn, 2018 to 2022, 249 tackles, 30 tackles for loss, 9 sacks, 3 interceptions, 3 forced fumbles, and a first-team All-Big 12. Jordan Hicks, 2010 to 2014, 239 tackles, 22 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks, 2 interceptions, second-team All-American, second-team All-Big 12. Malik Jefferson, 2015 to 2017, 230 tackles, 26 tackles for loss, 12 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, second-team All-American, first-team Big 12, Big 12 co-defensive player of the year. Jalen Ford, 2020 to 2023, 287 tackles, 28 tackles for loss, 3 sacks, 6 interceptions, 4 forced fumbles, and 2 first-team All-Big 12s. And Anthony Hill, 2023 to 2024, 180 tackles, 25 tackles for loss, 13 sacks, 1 interception, 5 forced fumbles, first-team All-American, first-team All-SEC.
Okay, I think we have to cut Anthony Hill off the list because he's still playing.
I don't care. On the list. He's on. Like, he's so good. Like, his numbers.
I know he's so good.
In two seasons, Matt, he's already a first-team All-American and a first-team All-SEC. I'm just telling you, his numbers, he is better than anyone else on the ones I named. So I think he belongs on the list because we say in 2 seasons he's done that, and he is a first-team All-American already, and he is a first-team All-SEC. He's the only guy who can go on this list that's on the team still, but he's got 2 seasons. A lot of these guys don't start 2 seasons. Like, a lot of these people only start 2 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I just – I feel like if we do this list next year, he's
– Oh, he's 100% on. But let's put it this way. He's above Jordan Hicks, right?
Probably. He's Jordan above Jalen Ford.
Jordan Hicks is a second-team All-American, second-team Big 12. So he's above him. I mean, so we can say Malik Jefferson was co-defensive player of the year. Jalen Ford's a 2-time All Big 12, but not an All-American. I mean, he's the only first-team All-American left, right?
Yeah, I was really hoping we wouldn't have any current players.
I agree, but it's Anthony Hill, man.
I know
he's the best player on one of the best ranked defenses in 2024. Like, 2024 counts. He was the best player on the best defense.
Yeah. All right, fine.
It's on the list. He's that good.
Okay. Here are my 5. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Kendall, Arakpo, Derek Johnson.
Yeah.
Derek Johnson first, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like we're kind of cheating because Kendall and Arakpo were edges, but whatever.
They're linebackers. They played linebacker in the NFL. They played linebacker in college. They just also lined up on the edge a lot.
Yeah. So those 3, and then Anthony Hill, and then Malik Jefferson.
Yeah. I like Jalen Ford. I think he was awesome. But I think it's Malik Jefferson. I do too. And I love Demo.
Yeah. And like, Demo has the argument that Sam Ellinger has, where he's just like the fan favorite. Everybody's going to say Demo. And he is probably the most well-liked defensive player for Texas over the last 10 or so years. I just think that, you know, Malik Jefferson had more accolades. I think he was just a better overall player.
Yeah.
And
no, I think Demo's last year was really the big one too.
Yeah. It took him a little while to get going. Malik Jefferson was good pretty much the whole time. And Anthony Hill has been one of the 3 best players in the defense for the last 3 years.
Yep. No, I think that's what I'm saying. It's like, if we just look at it, and if you were to look at this list in 10 years and you go back and you're like, those were the right guys. I think Demo, there's parts of it where you really think it. Jalen Ford was one that I didn't even have on here originally. And then I was like, oh, yeah, Jalen Ford was so good. And it was just, you know, but it was, again, He was a two-time first-team All-Big 12. Like, he was the dude for a couple of years, but it wasn't – those teams were kind of on the – that was in the rebuild. There's Tom Herman fired, and then Sark comes in, and he's good. But it just – like, he was part of it getting there, but so is Demo, and so they're part of the story. But I think that's where you go. Malik Jefferson was just the better player, and then Anthony Hill is by far the better player because Anthony Hill is one of the best players in college football.
Yeah, and by the end of this season – I'm not going to say he's going to be up there with Derek Johnson because I don't think that that's really attainable at this point, but he's going to be second.
Yeah. No, he'll, yeah. And that's the thing is,
by the way,
he's already a first team All American.
By the way, former Texas A&M commit Anthony Hill. That's got to stay.
There you go. So, all right. So there's. Yeah. All right. Let's go with that one. Now we get into where I think there's not as much argument. You may have an argument on some of these. And now keep in mind, when you don't hear some of these names at cornerback, they may be at safety. Because we kind of have to go cornerback and safety. So I have six cornerbacks and four safeties. This is DBU. This is all these pieces. I feel like these are the right answers. Now, someone, if you want to in the chat or the text or anywhere, that there's someone who has egregiously been left off this list that is better than the ones I name, please throw them out there. I have a couple safeties that did not make my list, but we can have the conversation if they should be on it. My cornerbacks, Aaron Ross, 2002 to 2006, 205 tackles, 5 tackles for loss and a sack, 3 forced fumbles. He also had 10 interceptions. He's a Thorpe Award winner, a first-team All-American, first-team Big 12, and Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. He's on the list.
Easy.
Jahdae Barron. 2020 to 2024, 226 tackles, 21 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 24 pass breakups is what they had listed. Those numbers also are kind of screwy, so I don't have them on everybody. 1 forced fumble. He's a Thorpe Award winner, first team All American, first team SEC. Thorpe Award winners are getting on. Mm-hmm. Quandre Diggs, 218 tackles, 14 tackles for loss, 5.5 sacks, 37 PBUs, 11 interceptions, 3 forced fumbles, second team, two-time second team Big 12, and a freshman All-American. Quentin Jammer, 2000 to 2001, All-American, two-time first team at Big 12. Again, some of these guys at the beginning of the 2000s, I just don't have any numbers on them whatsoever. Nathan Vasher, 2001 to 2003, second team All-American, first team Big 12, two-time second team Big 12. And Rod Babers, first team Big 12, third team All-American from 2000 to 2002. Those are my cornerbacks. I'll give you safeties now as well so you don't have to say these guys' names. Safeties, Earl Thomas, 2007 to 2009, 135 tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 10 interceptions, 5 forced fumbles, first team All-American, first team Big 12. Kenny Vaccaro, 2009 to 2012, 231 tackles, 15 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 5 interceptions, 4 forced fumbles, two-time All-American, two-time first All-Big 12. Michael Huff, 2002 to 2005, first-team All-American, two-time first-team All-Big 12, Thorpe Award winner. And Michael Griffin, second-team All-American, first-team All-Big 12, second-team Big 12. Those are who I have in there. A couple other names we throw in the safety position. Caden Stearns from 2018 to 2019, 172 tackles, 9 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, 5 interceptions, first-team All-Big 12. And Deshaun Elliott, 2015 to 2017, 106 tackles, 12 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks, 9 interceptions, 4 forced fumbles, first team All American, first team Big 12.
I think you kind of hit it right on the head, man. I don't think that there's a way that you can put Caden Stearns and Deshaun Elliott above those four guys.
Yeah, because I mean, I really technically, don't. You could try and talk about Michael Griffin and Deshaun Elliott, but it's really hard to take Michael Griffin off that list, knowing what he was. So I don't see it. I think Deshaun Elliott is very much a close honorable mention. He was really, really good. He was really, really good. If I had the stats for Michael Griffin, it would be a lot easier. I don't have any stats for him.
Yeah, I mean, he won the Thorpe Award, didn't he?
Did Michael Griffin win it? Michael Huff won it.
Michael Huff won it. I thought Michael Griffin was at least in the conversation.
I think he's a finalist for sure.
Hold on one sec. Um,
Yeah, because back in the day, Texas had somebody in it every single year. So that would have been.
I thought he won it. He didn't. But he was a first round pick, I believe.
Yes, I think that was also the year Aaron Ross won it. So I think Aaron Ross won it ahead of him. So.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, no, Aaron Ross.
I'm fine with those. I'm fine with those 10 guys. I think that that's perfect. Okay. I don't think that there's really an argument you could make for anybody, maybe, but Deshaun Elliott.
Yeah.
You could potentially put Michael Taft into the conversation, but I just don't think that he is above those six.
I agree. I think if Michael Taft had 2 years like the one he had last year, then it becomes closer. But that was the thing. Anthony Hill's had 2 years where he was the best player. Like, he's had two of them already. Mm-hmm. So that's why he gets on there. I agree. I think in a couple of years, Michael Taft jumps into that conversation for sure, especially depending on what he does this season. Kicker. Now, this one I may be off on because I kind of did this knee jerk and I haven't looked at all the other names and I haven't done enough research on this one. So you may have a different. I have Justin Tucker. He was 40 of 40. He played from 08 to 2011. He was 40 of 48 from field goals. He was second team all Big 12. I feel like Dicker the kicker had a better awards.
Yeah, he beats Justin Tucker in almost every statistical category.
So we want to go because, yeah, he was first team all Big 12. He was also two-time second team all Big 12 for Dicker the kicker. He has been – he's had a lot. So is it Dicker the kicker over Justin Tucker?
I don't think it is. I think it's Justin Tucker first. He has a higher career percentage than Cameron Dicker. I think you just give the edge to Justin Tucker and then you go Dicker.
Yeah, I agree. And it's kickers. There's one. So sorry, Cameron Dicker. I think he's very close in there. And I think you could make the argument that because he was, you know, really, he had to do it 4 years. And, you know, he was a freshman to senior kicker, that he was that guy. I think you could make the argument. But I don't, I still, it's just hard to not take Justin Tucker because he's a legend. Hold on. You have another name, too?
I'm looking at some stuff. Okay. We may be making a mistake here.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to throw a name out there.
Okay.
And I just want you to hear me out here for a second.
All right.
Hunter Lawrence.
All right.
He has the highest career field goal percentage in Texas football history.
Okay.
And he was a third-team All-American and second-team All-Big 12.
All right.
He made, let's see. I don't have the field goals made. He has the most. He has the second most field goals in a single season in 2009 with 24.
I missed an extra point though, so he's out.
I think you still give it to Justin Tucker, but I think the conversation is actually Justin Tucker or Hunter Lawrence,
and it's not Justin Tucker or
Dicker.
Okay, I think they're all in it. I will say because I'm with you. I do think, yeah, because it looks like he kicked for 2 years. Maybe there was another year they just didn't have the info on it. No, I think that's a name in there. I think Justin Tucker still edges it because of, like, if you're just like, I want that player on my team, I think it's Justin Tucker. But at the same part, yeah, we'll give that one. The punter now, easiest one so far. This is the easiest. I mean, this is Vince Young easy for punter. It's Michael Dixon. He played from 2015 to 2017. He's a first-team All-American, a second-team All-American, a two-time first-team Big 12, the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Year. He won the Ray Guy Award, and he was an MVP of a bowl game, Matt. The punter was.
Yeah, it's Michael Dixon. There's no question.
There's no question on that one. This is so easy. All right. I'll give you the last easy one, too. The long snapper I have on here is Nate Boyer, right? Is there another long snapper we're going to put on another Nate Boyer?
I mean, not off the top of my head.
No. So we're going to put Nate Boyer on there. He gets the honorary spot because we all like him. How about the return specialist, Matt? Your return specialist. Now, we know it's Shipley if you're just going off guys, but Shipley's already on the wide receivers. Shipley's already there. There's some of these DBs that were on the list, and they are already there. So I have a couple of guys that I have on there. I had Ramon Staylor, but he only did it for 1 year, and he had no touchdowns. So it's hard to put him on there. He had a really, really good year returning kickoffs for a while. The championship year, he was unbelievable. But I just don't think he had the numbers overall doing the no touchdowns kind of hurts him. But you can put him out there if you want to put him on your list. I have DeShaun Jameson from 2018 to 2022. He had two kick returns for a touchdown and a punt return for a touchdown. He averaged 26.6 yards per return. DJ Monroe, 2008 to 2012, he had three kick returns for a touchdown, and he averaged 24.5 yards per return. Those are the two that I have on there. If there's someone else that comes to mind, if you have somebody else that you have the numbers or whatever else to put on there, but those are the two that I found were the easiest names to throw in.
I honestly don't think there's a question about it. I think it has to be DeShaun Jameson.
I think it is too. Yeah.
He was the most electric return guy they've had in a very long time.
Yeah, he was amazing. So I think it's DeShaun Jameson. I don't really have too many worries about that one. So that's where I go. Now, we've got our roster. We have got 53 men, Matt, but we're not done yet because it's coach time. We've got to get our coaches, and then we will be done with our experiments. Head coach. There's one that has won a national championship, and I feel like he gets it, right? Mack Brown is your answer for the head coach. It's Mack Brown. He won a national championship. Natties just matter. Then we go into offensive coordinator. You can cheat. I cheated. Sark is the offensive coordinator head coach. We could cheat and do that. Sark's your offensive coordinator. Or we could go a different way and name somebody else. There's been other really good offensive coordinators at Texas. Greg Davis is not in the running. I don't want to deal with the hate. I don't want to deal with having Greg Davis be the guy.
I can't put Sark on there because he's not listed as the offensive coordinator for Texas. He calls not the anymore, plays, yes. But Kyle Flood is listed as the offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I'm with you. I get it. I was trying to cheat on it, but I've been called on it saying that's cheating. So we got to pull it. We have to put someone else on there.
It has to be Greg Davis.
It does not have to be Greg Davis. If you were putting together the best team, it's not. He had the most success because he had the best players. I'm not giving it.
The best 7 years of Texas football offensively ever were under Greg Davis.
No, I hate it so much. I don't want to do this. Whole list is ruined by putting Greg Davis.
who else is in the conversation?
I mean, let's see if we can find a list of the last decade. I mean, Kyle Flood's is there. If we want to put him on there. I know he didn't call the play, so it's harder to put him on there. A vote for Kyle Flood is kind of a vote for Sark, I think. There's Jay Norvell that was there.
No.
Brian Harsin was there.
Absolutely not.
Tim Beck, that's another one of the favorites right there. Yeah, this is a lot of the last couple of years.
It's Greg Davis, Patrick.
I don't like that answer.
Well, I don't like it either, but that's what it is. It has to be.
All right.
His offense has got Texas to two national championships and one.
So 98 to 2010 was Greg Davis. From 2011 to 2012 was Brian Harsin. 2013 was Major Applewhite. 2014 was Sean Watson. I don't even remember that. 2015 was Jay Norvell. And that is where this list goes as well. Did anyone other than Greg Davis have scoring, passing? I'm looking at some numbers. I mean, they're just...
No, they didn't.
No. I mean, Harsin's passing was all right. That's about all I can get out of it.
I don't like a lot of things in this life, Patrick. But the fact of the matter is, Greg Davis is the best offensive coordinator Texas has had in the last 25 years. Yeah, if Steve Sarkisian was listed as the offensive coordinator... then potentially you can make that argument, but you can't.
I'm putting vacant.
it's Greg Davis. It's Greg Davis.
And I wrote it down, man. I wrote it down. I don't like it. I wrote it down. He's also the only offensive coordinator that had people fly over the stadium to fire GregDavis.com.
I think that a lot of that. What year was that?
When they were trying to get fired.
Yeah.
Like basically 2001, 2002, 2003, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010.
Okay. No, because nobody was trying to fire Greg Davis when Colt McCoy was putting up record numbers.
They were. Everyone wanted him fired every year because he threw too many bubble screens. Believe me, everybody wanted him fired.
They worked.
They worked. Everybody still wanted him fired. Yeah, like
if people want to fire a coach because he throws too many passes behind the line of scrimmage, then fire Steve Sarkisian.
Oh, but his work. Sorry, I hated that Greg Davis offense, man. I hated it. I worked with certain players. Man. Oh, I hated it so much. So defensive coordinator now. Let's go over to the side of the football where there's some people we actually like over there. We could go PK in the more recent years. I think there's some other ones that are interesting in there. You go Will Muschamp, likable guy that was Will Muschamp. Some of these guys overstayed their welcome. Gene Chizik was there during 05, that national championship. Dwayne Aquino was a co-defensive coordinator, so you could put Dwayne Aquino on this list as well. Vance Bedford, Todd Orlando. What was his name? The coach over at Duke. Guys over at Duke now.
Manny Diaz
was over there. Like, so some of those guys were really great, and then it fell apart.
Who was the first one you named?
Gene Chizik or PK?
When was Reese there?
Carl Reese?
Yeah.
98 to 2003. I mean, that was a really good one. That was some good players back then.
Hold on. Let's see. Okay. So I think Greg Reese is in the running.
Okay, I do too.
I think Chris Ash might be in the running.
I think PK's above him though, right?
Yeah, PK's above him.
I think Gene Chizik's there, but it was only a couple of years. Think he did well. I think Will Muschamp's on that list. I mean, Will Muschamp was really, really good for a few years, and then he left.
The head coach in waiting.
That was the whole thing, is he was the guy, and then he left. And I think it's more tempered that we don't like because he became a bad head coach. Mm-hmm. That we don't remember that he's a really good DC at a point.
Okay. I'm gonna boil it down to Carl Reese and Kwiatkowski and Gene Chizik as the three.
Okay.
I think that Carl Reese probably had the best stretch of those guys in terms of like just the best defenses from year to year to year.
Yeah.
Part of that does go back to 1998, 1999. So, you know, he wasn't as good in 2003 as he was in 98, 99. PK had the best defense in the country last year, but the year before that, it was not very good.
Think about Dwayne Aquino was a co-DC 05 to 07?
Put a lot of players in the NFL.
That dude, I mean, and that kind of also throws in that he was there 01 to 13. He was there for a while overall. He was just a co-DC for 05 to 07.
I personally think it's Carl Reese.
I think it could be.
I think that you make a very good argument for Aquina. Chizik won a national title, and that defense was arguably the best in the country that year. Man, this is hard.
It is definitely difficult because, yeah, you're going, and then PK has, one of the statistically best defenses in the last year. He has a amazing, amazing defense last year. But then you also throw in that's also he's a co-DC now with Johnny Nansen. So you kind of go, well, does Nansen get some of that credit too?
Okay, here's my argument for Carl Reese.
Okay.
And I'm reading this straight off Wikipedia, so
Okay, go for it.
but this is a good summary here. While at Texas, Reese inherited a defense that ranked 104th nationally in rushing yards per game and 85th nationally in total defense and 399.2 yards per game. He turned it into a unit that produced five straight top 25 total defense finishes. In 2001, Texas led the nation in with 236.2 yards per game allowed, the lowest since 1983 for Texas. He was a 2001 finalist for the Broyles Award, which is given to the nation's top assistant coach. UT ranked sixth nationally in total defense in 1999, seventh in 2000, 16th in 2002. I think it's Carl Reese.
I don't think you're necessarily wrong. I'm trying to look and see if anybody actually won. I mean, how many people win the Broyles Award every year?
I think maybe there's a. Is there like a one for offense, one for defense every year?
I know. All the
No, it's
lists
just
don't
one.
seem to.
It's just one per year.
There we go.
He's the Craig Davis won the Broyles Award.
Of course he did. Of course he did.
Yeah, man, I really think it's Carl Reese. I PK was a
I
finalist for the Broyles Award this year, but he didn't get it.
Yeah. I'm gonna go. I'll put him down. I'm gonna put him down. I'm putting him down. And when we get yelled at, I'm tagging you every time I get yelled at for it. One more thing, real quick. Jeff Banks is special teams coordinator, or we want to go somewhere else? That look, I just gave it to Jeff Banks, and I think recruiting wise, he's been so good. I don't know
Yeah.
if there's anybody better at recruiting than him.
Well, okay, so Mack Brown was technically the special teams coordinator, I think. Like he handled the special teams when he was at
That's
Texas.
what I'm saying. I also don't know the list. I couldn't off the top of my head.
I think Jeff Banks is fine. I don't really have an argument against it. He's
I mean, I
one of
do,
the
which is
best.
last season, but other than that, he's been pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know a list of all of our special teams coordinators and the ones, if someone wants to get us wrong on that one, but I have Jeff Banks. I think recruiting wise, I'm going to give him the edge because he's been huge at Texas getting, the resurgence of not just special teams players, but everywhere. He's an ace recruiter. So I'm giving it to Jeff Banks on that one. All right, Matt, I think we've done it. I think on our Friday activity, we have made our list of the team. I will put this all together and make it look nice and post it within the weekend, most likely, or Monday afternoon. But we have our list, Matt. We have made our hard cuts, and we've done it. We have cut some really good players today, Matt.
We have, and I feel bad about it because they're all tremendous players. And I know that as soon as you put out this list, there's going to be people in the comments who are trashing it because Greg Davis is on there and because certain players are not on there. And
It's my favorite every time, which, and this is the response I normally get. It's a friendly response. But this, if you comment on it and you said the thing, and I'll just go, okay, who do you knock off for it and give me the argument? You can't just go, that guy's better, or this guy deserves to be on the list. There's limits. We did not want to cut any of the players I mentioned other than Greg Davis. We wanted to cut him really, really bad. Other than
you wanted
that,
to cut it really, really bad.
I so bad. one Broyles Award. Come on, man. What's wrong with you people? And Greg Davis, if you're listening, you've turned it off by now. But I know he did really well. With the right players, it works. I just always hate that analogy. I always hate that system. Like, well, if you get the right players, like, well, the right players, anything works, right? Vince Young was basically, you just walk out and go, so Vince, we're going to go left here and do that. He'd be like, okay, I'm going to go win the game. Okay, Vince, do whatever you can do.
And then Colt McCoy, like he did get an embarrassment of riches during his time. He had, you know, he had Major Applewhite and Chris Sims, and then he had Vince Young, and then he had Colt McCoy. But, you know,
did he end up going anywhere else afterwards?
Let me look real quick. After he left Texas, he was the offensive coordinator at Iowa from 2012 to 2016.
Oh, Iowa, known for their offense. Perfect.
He was also a head coach for 4 years and had a overall record of 14-31 as a head coach.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was he? In high school? No, assistant? No,
at Tulane.
Oh, he's at Tulane. He was there for a little bit. Yeah. No, I have to go look at those Iowa numbers. I'm curious what he did at Iowa, because that school has never been known for its offense. But
I'd be able to tell you real quick.
I'll tell you what, we'll take a break real quick. We'll come back and see if Matt gets the answer to that. We'll get our meathead of the day, start to wrap things up on a Friday. I'll see if I can look up offensive rankings of teams in like 2015, when he would have been, I guess, like 2013, 14, when he would have been good. Look up offensive rankings.
I can do that.
We'll do that here in the break, and then we'll come back. We'll get into our meathead of the day and see what else we're going to get into where we got 10 minutes left on a Friday afternoon. You got anything you want to talk about, hit us up in the chat or the text line. As we'll come back here on Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered.
Hi, I'm Dan Covert with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Covert BK.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have 3 service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations.
I got this, Dad. This is Camilla McKay, and my dad can help with any TV or stereo needs you have around your house. Just call him, and he will come to you with advice and a great price. And the guys that work for him are awesome. They can install anything, anywhere. So, like my dad says, just relax and smile. We handle all the work.
So just give us a call at 255-8678 or on the web at avconsultations.com.
Say hello to Jason and the gang over at Relax the Back. They embrace a holistic approach for a healthier lifestyle based on 35 years, folks, of proven expertise, and my back couldn't be happier. Their motto is live wellness, and folks, they can transform your routine, your daily routine, into something very, very special if you have back pain. If you're struggling with thoracic problems, if you've got hip problems, if you've got lumbar problems, please go over to one of their stores. They got 2 great locations, and find out a chair or a recliner or a sofa that's going to fit you and going to make your life a whole lot better. I've got this office chair right here that I've been sitting in for years, and I love it. 2 locations, folks, at the Hill Country Gallery across from Whole Foods and in North Austin at the Gateway Shopping Center across from the Container Store. Live pain-free like the buck and relax the back.
SendTextTickets.com. If you're in the market for tickets to any sporting event, any concert, any Broadway show, anything live coming to town, you got to head over to SendTextTickets.com. The best seats to all of the biggest events, not just here in Austin, but all over the state and all over the country as well. It's so easy to use. Just log on your phone or computer to sendtexttickets.com. All of their tickets are 100% guaranteed, and they will be delivered right to your phone or computer. So simple to use, and you're also helping to support a local business every time you shop sendtexttickets.com. So if you want to be at the biggest events in sports and entertainment, there's only one place to go. It's sendtexttickets.com.
Back here on Open Gym here on Texas Sports Unfiltered as we wrap it up on a Friday afternoon. Myself, Patrick Davis, alongside Matt Glatzen of Texas Longhorns on SI. Matt, what did you pull up over the break?
Well, the only thing I could find on Greg Davis was the 2016 year. That's as far back as it would go with Iowa. They ranked 121st in total offense in 2016, averaging 325 yards per game. And then they ranked 95th in scoring offense. That's as far back as that list.
In 2015, they were 72nd in yards per game and 54th in scoring per game. And that was 2015.
Yeah.
And I was going the wrong direction.
I sent out a couple of texts during the break, asking other people who they thought was the best offensive coordinator in Texas history in the last 25 years. And the names that I got were Sark.
That's what I say. Yeah. Which is true. That is true, but it's also, that's not what we're trying to, that's not the exercise we're doing. 2014, they were 71st in scoring offense was Iowa. Then total offense, they were 66 in total. They had 400 yards a game. 2014. Greg Davis just ranching it up. There we go. Get it going. How many were they passing or rushing? What are they doing?
In Iowa, they're probably running the football.
And 163 rushing yards per game. 237 in the air. Never was that great. I mean, it's Iowa though. That's not what they're known for. I'm sure they were like bubble screens. Do you get yardage? And like yeah, we normally get like 4 or 5 yards. They're like 4 or 5. Oh man, the most prolific passer in Iowa history. Never get the ball 4 or 5 yards down the field.
Yeah.
Pretty good list there today, Matt. Let's see. Is there anything else you wanted to get into today before we had to? Before we get out, I don't want to start any of these things that we're gonna be gone, and I got it the meat out of the day and all of our good stuff. I don't want to ruin anything, and we can use next week.
Well, I did have some. Actually, I do have something. In college football, 26, the EA Sports game that's coming out here pretty soon.
Yes,
I believe it comes out next week. They released the top 10 teams and the top 25 offenses and the top 25 defenses.
All right.
And I have those numbers here for you. Let me grab it real quick. I know Texas was ranked number 2 in the top 10. They were behind Alabama. Alabama was an 89 overall. Texas is an 88 overall. And here's where that starts to really not make sense. The top 25 defenses, Texas is number 2 behind Alabama. Alabama is a 96 overall defense, and the number 90, and Texas is the number, or is a 94 overall, number 2. So they're pretty close there. And then you go to offense, and Texas is the number 1 offense in college football, 26, ranked with a 91 overall ranking, and Alabama is down at an 89 overall ranking, number 7. They're tied for 5th with Clemson and LSU. So apparently College Football 26 thinks that Alabama is the best football team in the country next year. I don't buy it.
Here's what I'll tell you. I think that EA Football 26 agrees with Nico Harrison that defense wins championships.
Yeah, they probably do.
By the way, did you hear what Nico said today? He said today, I think the fans are finally starting to get the vision we had for this team.
And yesterday, I believe he said, fortune favors the bold.
That's what he said. Dude, someone needs to take him away. Just take him away. I don't ever want to see him ever again. He's such an idiot.
Yeah. But also, they have Texas A&M ranked in the top 10 overall teams in college football at number 8. In the defenses, they have Texas A&M ranked number 12 with a 90 overall defense. And in the offensive rankings, they have Texas A&M ranked also number 12. So they're number 12 in offense and number 12 in defense and number 8 overall. So looks like they'll be pretty fun team to play with. I feel like by the time you get to the first update in the game that happens during the season, which is probably like 4 weeks into the regular season or something like that, I think you'll see Alabama kind of slide down a little bit. I think you'll see Texas kind of slide up a little bit.
But Alabama doesn't have anybody non-conference, I don't think. When's Alabama's first big game?
They play Florida State week one, I believe.
Do they? Do they have a good non-conference this year? They didn't last year, I don't think.
I believe it's Florida State.
They do. They do play. Well, yeah, we don't know if that's going to be good or not. But yes, they do play Florida State. When they booked it, it most likely was going to be a better game. They play Georgia week four, too. So.
Yeah.
They'll have also, that. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say Florida State did give Alabama some, bulletin board material.
Yes.
The Florida State quarterback, Thomas Castellanos, in an interview with On3, said that I'm excited, man. People, I don't know if they know, but you go back and watch every first game that I've played in. We always start fast. I dreamed of moments like this. I dreamed of playing against Alabama. They don't have Nick Saban to save them. I just don't see them stopping me. So.
You know what? I love the irrational confidence. Love it. Mm-hmm. It's wrong. I love it.
According to people that I've talked to, he has actually never started fast in his career.
They call me a fast starter, 0 to 60 in just under 5 minutes. Nobody's fat. Everyone's faster. Ah, oh, crap. All right. Here's our meathead of the day. Saw this video file from Fanatics Fest and thought it was a pretty funny little video.
Before I answer this question, is that dude signing?
He's signing. He's signing. Yeah.
That's cold. That's, how he know what I'm about to say?
Oh. My man, he's paused. My man is like this right now.
He's waiting.
He's waiting. He's just waiting.
All right. I mean, for me, man.
That's fire.
What? That's fire. Like he knows. Like
I know. It's fast. It's really kind of creepy how fast he could do it.
Wait. So what would happen if we started like doing like amigos and we did like ad libs? Could he do ad libs?
He's doing it. Hey.
Shout out him. When Kyle did the intro and he said, and Kyle said. Jack Marius Tactheratrix.
Wait.
Jingle McCringleberry.
What would you say if I went like, Hannah Montana, Hannah Montana, Hannah Montana, Hannah Montana, Hannah Montana.
I got Molly, I got White, I got my.
That's my man. Give it up for the signing.
That's fire right there. That's
cold. Oh, man, that's great. This is the best panel of Fanatics Fest.
Oh, man, that is great stuff. First of all, I love Tyreek Hill not understanding how it was working. That's the best part to start it when he goes, how does he know what I'm going to say? I don't think you don't understand how translators work.
That's not how it works, Tyreek. I'm sorry.
And then they just all start being like, oh, let's mess with him. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's hysterical. I've also seen these sign interpreters at like comedy shows and even at concerts. Like there's a video somewhere of this you know, sign language interpreter doing a Travis Scott concert or some rapper doing a concert. And she was like getting into it. And she was like dancing while I love that stuff. I think it's great.
Oh no, I love it. Yeah. I love doing the Key and Peele sketch of all the what the Pro Bowl or the All American sketch that they would do and have all the weird names, and he's trying to get him to say those, and then just doing the Hannah Montana. I was not expecting that at all.
And then at the very end of that Key and Peele sketch, and Dan Smith, BYU.
Dan Smith, BYU. Oh, that is good stuff. I enjoyed that one. Let me see if I pull up this graphic real quick. We get into that. It's almost a weekend. Are you doing anything tonight, Matt? You got any plans for tonight?
Nope. I am going to play Call of Duty until bones decay. That's what I'm gonna do.
That works. I can't find it real quick. I love that. I'm not good enough video game player, so I can't do any of it. It's too old. I also don't have the new system. You got to get a new X or S, or because nothing plays. I bought an Xbox One like 10 years ago for $100 off a guy that I still use. And so normally how I do it, and I, every once in a while you'll look and be like, are there any really cheap ones out there? And then they're like, no, still like $300 or $400. Like, come on, man. Give me something out there.
The new Xbox is coming out in a couple of years. So then by that point, you'll be able to buy one of the now new Xboxes for cheap.
I think I found some stuff where it's like refurbished, like $200. You can get a decent one. So I maybe I'll be doing that here in the next, maybe the next few months or something. I'll finally take it over so I can play EA Sports, because I can't play EA College Football. It's not on the system. I played it like through the cloud on the other one, but it's super slow. It's hard to do. So I've not played it enough. So maybe I'll get it before college football season so I can play around with that and play with the Longhorns and simulate 25. And also, it's too intricate now. It's too intricate. I hate it. They're like, oh, you got to do the recruiting vids. I'm like, I don't have time to be a full-time head coach either.
I will say this. If there's any gamers out there that are listening to Open Gym right now, in when College Football 26 comes out, if you want to challenge me to a game, I will take you on. So just let me know.
There we go. I like it. I like it. All right, we're going to get out of here. We'll be back on Monday for more. But until then, Matt, great times this week. Appreciate you. We'll come back on Monday. Until then, be kind, be safe, keep your underwear clean, and we'll see you right back here Monday for a whole new week here on Open Gym.